See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
I'm here. Hi. Hi, everybody.
And with us always, or also, is film critic from JoeBlow.com, who just interviewed, whatchamacallit, what's that guy's name?
Oh, that would be Tom Hardy, sir.
Tom Hardy. Film critic from
Hardy Har Har.
Tom Hardy Har Hardy from JoeBlow.com. That is James Doster, a.k.a. Jimmy O.
Well, to be fair, for a year I was on the show regularly, so that's easy for you to miss, Steph. Like, sorry, yes. I'm finally back, guys, for that one.
And well, hi, James.
We have a special guest. We have another special guest this week, and that is Mr. Matt Van Winkle. He was one of the co-stars of our latest film, The Foot of the Bed. So welcome, Matt.
What's up? Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. It looks like on our screen, it looks like you're muted, but then we just heard you, so I guess not.
That's weird. I heard him.
Yeah, no, I know. I just said we heard him, but if you look on the screen, it looks like he's muted. But yeah. Anyway, so here we are.
Shake your head at me, man. Don't fucking shake your head at me.
I heard him. I think I heard him.
I heard him. Hey, wait, was it, did you interview, James, did you interview Tom Hardy for that motorcycle movie?
Yeah, excellent movie. It's really one of my favorites so far this year. Really
and they got cool. Matching tattoos.
Huh? Yeah, we have matching tattoos. I had no idea. They literally had a sheet of tattoos, and I was like, well, this one's cool, and then the bird, and then this one's, I figured it'd be fun to, you know, reveal him to the cast. Austin Butler went crazy. He, like, grabbed my hands. He's like, oh, my God. And Tom Hardy, he's like, oh, dude, we're twins. It was like, we bonded, man. Me and Tom.
Nice.
We're buddies now. Love that guy. Yeah.
It's like Mark with a cabbie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or any girl with a pulse.
Look.
Or without a pulse, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Look, this beautiful cabbie was all over me. She was all over me. I mean,
that we guy could was have been scared in a, of you, Mark.
Not yeah, that cabbie.
That was an Uber. That was a Lyft driver.
You mean the Lyft driver.
I was talking about the cabbie.
Oh.
That was frightened of you. All right.
That you were all over. Yeah.
Well, this week we have special guests, as you can tell. And but before that, this is episode 98, and
yes, it is.
And we're getting close. We got some fun stuff coming up. But Joe, have you watched anything recently that you want to talk about?
Honestly, I haven't. Actually, I not that was will fit in the timeline chronologically of when this comes out.
This is coming out this week.
Okay, then I guess I just started back up. This is so confusing doing things out of order.
I think we've explained this on every other episode, but we're trying to shoot.
People are probably tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, we're recording as many episodes as we can in a short amount of time, so that then we can take like a month off this summer. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of confused about when this episode is coming out, but it is actually coming out this week. So this is this week's episode.
Okay, so. I finally, after months, finished Bob's Burgers and started watching House of Dragons again. So
nothing
even remotely close to being horror related.
We haven't started House of the Dragon yet, the season two yet. But
although I will give myself some sort of credibility, I did rewatch The Coffee Table for the second time.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah,
it's just it's stuck in my head, and I may have to watch it a third time.
Hmm. Yeah, I plan to go to, if it's still playing in the theaters, I do plan to go see In a Violent Nature again this week as soon as I can. So,
have you seen Coffee Table yet?
No. I plan to watch that this week as well. Now, okay. We were on vacation last week, and then we just got back Sunday. So this
James,
today
have you seen Coffee Table?
Nope.
Nope. Matt? Other no. Matt? No?
Mark, you see it?
I'm going to watch it.
It's really, it's crept into my top five. And
Mark
it,
will
more
watch
importantly,
it in December.
It's living rent-free in my brain right now, and I can't seem to shake it.
Nice.
Is it about a coffee table?
It is about a coffee table. A very, very gaudy, ugly coffee table.
Why do I have the feeling with this film, with this coffee table, that someone's like teeth are going to just get shattered, like curb stomped?
Mark, there's nothing teeth related.
Okay.
Nothing about a mouth in this at all whatsoever.
It's in my brain right now.
I mean, it's, yeah. You always watch American, was that Edward Norton movie?
American History X?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can watch that for that. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun time.
Mark, have you watched anything recently?
I went on a journey. I was at work and some of my employees were talking about, well, who not to, you know, fuck with or mess with. And I was like the number one on the list. And I was just going, come on. It's like, I'm not that bad of a guy. And they said, Mark, you could kill somebody, I think. And I'm just like, that's just CineScare, you know, because I'm on a horror podcast, right? And so I went home and don't laugh, man. And so I went home and for some reason, it was bothering me. So I started watching on Amazon. It was called Becoming Evil Serial Killers. And I started watching it. And I'm starting to, like, relate. And, hey, this is actually a win-win situation for me. So I was actually, like, starting to relate. And so I did I Googled, it's like, can I be a serial killer? And guess what? I guess I can. So
I'm just, Mark, I'm just sending in something to the FBI. Hold on.
Haven't we already like come to a complete agreement that if we were all in a horror movie, Mark would be the first one to die?
Yes. Yes. Constantly.
I thought we established that.
And he reaffirms that every time.
He wouldn't even get a Jada kill. I mean, it would.
I also feel that if Mark were a serial killer, he would accidentally kill himself first. He would be his first victim.
Well, no. Well, this is the win on, you know, like a 50-50, like win-win situation or a win-loss situation, 50-50. So anyways, I realized like, oh, maybe I can kill somebody. So I wouldn't be the first person to die in a horror movie if all of us are involved because I'm capable of killing something or someone.
You'd be the first one dead, Mark.
How does that even work? How does that even work?
Bodies.
Bodies, yeah.
Pete Davidson, yeah.
If there was a pre-credit scene, I don't think you'd make it into that because that's usually like a better character. But it would be, you'd be real early on. Like you'd be the character that the audience would probably be cheering, like Jamie Kennedy, basically.
No.
He'd be the Jamie Kennedy for sure.
You remember Evil Dead Rise? There's two deaths, three technically. Two deaths and a possession before the credits even come up.
Yeah.
You're before those two.
Yeah.
No.
You're a body. That's what you'll be.
I'm not a fucking body.
The movie. You know, that's what it is. That's just
so accurate. Mark, did you watch a movie recently?
Well, I watched like a series of
he did research.
Mind of a Serial Killer. What? It's horror adjacent.
Is that
you're giving
it?
Me no, shit? Joe didn't watch fucking crap. You watch Bob's Burgers. You giving me shit?
No, I just asked. I'm not giving you shit because you didn't watch a movie. I'm giving you shit because we got onto a really weird topic.
It's not a weird topic. It's keep bullying me. Go ahead. See what happens.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe, you ready to go to the cabin?
Have you watched any horror movies lately?
Well, you know,
I will sleep fine at the cabin.
I was watching Maniac, and I thought that would, you know, that's really what I want to do for a living. I really want to chop off people's heads. I mean, it sounds fun. No, just kidding.
It's just research.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm too pretty to go to jail. I'm too pretty to go to jail.
I don't think you'd make it to jail.
Yeah, you wouldn't make it because you would be like, oh my god, you'd be the killer in Scream, the last Scream, the killers that were like the fake killers at the beginning that get killed off immediately. That's you.
What are you nodding your head for, Winkle? You don't even know me, man.
You're just making.
My boy Matt's right. Now you are. Yeah.
It's Mark. It's Van Winkle. Please.
It's not. His name's not Winkle. It's not like Van is his middle name.
Van, do you want us to call you Winkle?
You know, you can call me Van. You can call me Winkle. I'm not dying first in the horror movie. I'll take that.
See, there we go.
He's just being nice.
No, we're good. Yeah, thanks for offering, but no, Mark.
Yeah, Matt. No, it's you got to get mean on Mark. That's part of the show.
All right.
Matt, so, did you watch anything horror related?
Which Matt?
Either at this point.
Van Winkle, did you watch anything horror related? This is a shit show already. Van Winkle, did you watch anything recently?
You know, a few weeks ago, I saw the 4K restoration of Seven at the Egyptian Theater.
Nice.
And Andrew Kevin Walker was doing the Q&A afterward, and it's so interesting to rewatch that with a crowd because the movie is so much more funnier than you remember. Like the sadistic humor of David Fincher really plays through, like throughout the crowd. Obviously, I've seen it's one of my favorite movies. I've seen it. I watch it like once or twice a year. I have a Seven tattoo, but.
Mark has a Star Wars tattoo.
And a Star Wars tattoo. I gleaned something new for each watch. And it was like watching it again for the first time. But other than that, I watched Ren Faire on HBO, which felt like a Safdie Bros / Nathan Fielder-esque. Like, it's horror in the way that it makes you feel anxious. I popped an edible and I took it, and I was way too anxious throughout the thing. So it's about three people struggling to take power of a Renaissance fair in Texas. And there's one old man who's creepy as hell who won't give up his reins. It's like three episodes. I'd definitely suggest it.
What's it called again?
Ren Faire.
Ren Faire. Oh, yeah. I did see that. That's right. Yeah.
Hey, Matt, you remember how in past episodes we always do this? Like, what did you watch? And then everybody else goes, and then like midway through, I realized that I watched something else.
Yeah.
That happened. I watched The Mist, Stephen King's The Mist. And I got to say, for it being one of my favorite horror movies, one of all time, I rewatched it again. And I don't want to say looking at it with fresh eyes, but I was really kind of disappointed on the computer graphics of some of the creatures. In my head, they were well done. But now I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, that's really kind of cartoony.
No, what was the Joe? CGI? The Mist.
Oh, The Mist.
Stephen King's The Mist. We're in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Thomas Jane.
Yeah. The film that you hate, Matt. Joe, what are you talking about? It was like a 50s. They did it on purpose.
No, I like the first creature that comes out in the back room, in the stock room.
Yeah.
They had that sliding door, that garage door that comes down. That like tentacle was very well done. I'm talking about the scene where the windows break and those giant bugs come flying in. And there's the one that's flying right in front of the Jesus freak lady's face. Right. It just seems really cartoony.
I don't believe that at all.
Rewatch it.
Yeah, I remember when we watched it, it did seem a little CG. I didn't hate it. I just didn't like it as much as
I didn't. Yeah, I still enjoy it. I'm shocked at how faulty my memory is. I remembered it being more realistic. So
that's so disappointing. I can't even believe Joe just said that. This is fine. I still
we should kick him off the show.
You? Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I don't deserve to be here.
No, not at all.
Well, let's see. What did I watch? I watched Arcadian. Joe, I highly suggest this. It's with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicky.
Yeah, and there's no Rage Cage in it, though. He's very way
then
more
why
dialed.
Watch it.
He's very dialed down in this, but it's pretty good. It's basically a typical end of the like apocalypse thing. It's very similar to A Quiet Place. In many ways, the creatures aren't necessarily the same, but they're not the same. But it's of that kind of thing where it's people trying to survive and something comes out at night that they have to, you know, they have to be inside and locked up. And of course, there's mistakes made and mayhem ensues, but it's good. It's really focused more on the kids, but it's definitely worth checking out. And then I went on vacation this last week. We went to a cabin in the woods and we watched a couple horror movies, of course. And one was a revisit of Terrified. And the reason I want to mention that is because I don't know whatever version they have on Shudder now is not the version I saw. I don't know if it's a director's cut or if there was an American edit that came out at first, but whatever this is, there's scenes in it that were not in the original version that I saw. And I've tried to research this to find out what happened here, or what the story is. And I can't find anything about why there's a different version now, but it definitely makes things make more sense. I remember it in the first time I saw it, I wasn't sure how all the stories tied together. And in this, it's way more connected, and I think it makes it a much better movie. So, and I really liked it the first. I mean, it was in my top 10 of 2018, I think, whatever year it came out. But it's excellent, and I'd highly suggest, if you haven't revisited that one, it's worth it because these scenes really they do make a bit of a difference. And then the other one that we watched was, oh gosh. Well, I watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So revisited that. So,
great movie.
Such a great movie. Such a great movie. And
Dreyfuss is so great at that dinner table with his mashed potatoes. Like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so underrated. Like people just don't talk about that movie enough, really. Yeah.
In the cabin, they also revisited Smile. So, yeah, definitely. That's good.
Whose pick was that? I didn't think you were a big fan of it.
No, I liked it. You guys, every time you guys love a movie and I don't feel as strongly about it, you assume I hated it. That's not the case. I liked that movie. It was in my top 15, I think.
Matt, you're
for the record,
brow.
I liked the movie. I didn't love it. Not like Mark loved it. But I just didn't think that was one that you liked enough that you would have watched a second or third time.
Yeah, I've seen it three times now, and I think it was in your top 10, I believe, that year. But we were there with my son and his girlfriend, and they hadn't seen it, so they were like, "Let's watch that." So
they did like it.
Oh yeah, they loved it. So
did they love it like Mark loved it, or
I don't think anybody loves it the way Mark loves it.
I didn't love it like the way you guys are saying it. I actually said they ruined like one of the best jump scares out of it and pissed me off.
Oh my goodness.
What? What, James? What? Welcome back, James.
Thank you.
James, I've got a swallow tattoo here as well.
Do you?
James.
Yeah. Which one's too?
Yeah. Mark's got a Star Wars tramp stamp, I think.
Okay.
It's on my fucking arm, you asshole. I got one in the back here.
Every episode.
Matthew, do you understand what's going on?
Mr. Van Winkle.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
Smile's fine. That's really it. Smile's fine.
Yeah, Smile's fine.
Yeah.
It is. It's fine.
That's fine.
But and now Mark is gonna translate that into you absolutely hated it.
Yeah, Matt, why did you
No
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate being labeled a smile hater, to be honest.
Really?
No, it's a good you know, venereal disease horror film. You know, it's like moves.
Mark
on.
Has two levels. It's either okay, or he wants to take it behind a grade school and get it pregnant.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Joe! What the fuck was that?
That's your rating system. I'm just
It's either
Jesus. What did I do tonight? What did I do tonight to deserve this kind of like bashing?
Yeah.
Matt, this
I think it's time for the sound cue. There it is.
There we go.
Cue that all the nonsense is over.
This week we're going to talk to Jimmy and Matt Van Winkle, James Oster, Matt Van Winkle, stars of The Foot of the Bed. I guess Joe, you should probably lead this because I am a part of it as well. And we're going to talk about The Foot of the Bed, which is CineScare's new movie that's going to be, or it's our short, it's going to be coming out, well, this fall. So
I'm really more of a follower.
Yeah. So.
But Matt, for those of you, I don't actually know when is this coming out for public view? I've seen it
October
dozens of times. October.
Yeah.
Do we have an actual like date or just sometime in October?
Sometime in October. Probably.
We'll let everyone know.
We will let everyone know. I'm not sure because there's a couple festivals still considering, but I'm thinking probably by the second week of October. So. Okay.
Shall I give a synopsis, or is that like too much of a reveal?
Well, it's a pretty short synopsis.
Yeah,
it's
like a 3-sentence synopsis. But
well, if you have one, go for it.
It's just off the top of my head because I've seen it so many times. James is troubled because he keeps thinking that there's something at the foot of the bed, hence the title, and calls over Matthew Van Winkle, his friend, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, dials 911 and says, "Can you please come over here and help me straighten this all out?" And together they team up to try to pull back the curtain and find out what is troubling James every night when he tries to fall asleep. So how's that for not spoiling a 11-minute movie?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And, you know, it really was just something that I wrote. And I thought, I want to make a movie. I got this new camera last summer, and I was like, I want to do something with this. And so I talked to Jimmy, and I knew Matt had moved out here. I think you had just moved out here last summer or spring, something like that.
Yeah, I've been out here 10, 11 months now.
Yeah. So I was like, "You want to be a part of it?" And he said, "Yeah." And then James, you know, had some family emergencies, and I know, you know, as we said last fall, your mom became sick, and so he had to deal with a lot of that. So we put off shooting it until, I guess it was the first week of January when we shot it, and it was just over the course of one day. It was just for fun, and then I entered it in a couple film festivals just for the heck of it. And we got accepted to Chicago Horror Film Festival. And I wasn't expecting that. It was just a lark but people responded to it. The guy who was the head of the Chicago Horror Film Festival really responded to it because he had sleep paralysis in his life I don't know if recently or not, but he had dealt with it. And so it really struck a nerve with him. And I've had a lot of filmmakers reach out to me and friend me on Facebook and stuff like that who were involved. And so it's been a nice thing. And I know James was nominated for Best Actor at Chicago Horror Film a few times, but the big one
was done.
At Chicago Horror Film Festival. And that one I thought was a really big one. And I was very excited for him because the other nominations, when you submit your film, some of those festivals also let you, click, do you want your actor or whatever? And everybody just clicks, yes, I want them to be considered. Yeah. But this one, they didn't have that option. So James was nominated out of the whatever hundreds. I think it was 150 shorts that were there that weekend or whatever, 200, I think it was almost 200 actually. Out of all those, he was one of five or six to be nominated for Best Actor.
That was really surreal. I love the fact that I lost out to an actual established, you know, hottie on the Wolfpack show with Sarah Michelle Gellar. I think it's cool. I was, you know, that was an honor. That was cool. I'm still, yeah. Like, you know, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, I actually have a couple questions all prepared, ready to go.
Awesome.
For this particular episode. My first one, of course, was, what was the inspiration of the film and how long did it take to actually write the final script?
Well, the inspiration was a dream I had. I had a dream, a very detailed dream, when I was quitting smoking and I was using the patch. And I don't know if anybody's ever quit smoking by using the patch, but one of the side effects you can have is vivid dreams, especially if you leave it on. And I left it on one night and I had this extremely vivid dream where I would fall asleep and I felt like this old woman was crawling over me and then go and trying to suck my soul out of my face. And so I had this friend of mine videoing me. And so it's basically the exact same story. And in the video, it happens just like in the movie, or in the, I'm sorry, in the dream, it happens just like it happened in the movie. And so I don't want to go too far because there's some things that are, I guess, are spoilers, but the reveal that happens towards the end of the short is exactly the way it happened in my dream. So that's where it came from. And I wrote it, I don't know, I wrote it over my summer break. So it didn't take too long. It was only 11, 12 pages, I think, something like that. If that, I don't remember. But maybe it took me a week to get it out, and then, you know, fiddled with it, because then we didn't shoot it for several months. So yeah, that's where it came from. It was just a dream.
My next question involves the opening, and I'm sure this isn't giving anything away. I don't know if this is just me or if this was intended or not, but the scene or the movie opens up with a very slow pan upward along a set of sheets, mm-hmm. revealing Jimmy's face at the end. The sheets have a print of trees, pine trees, on them. Every time I see that, I think of the opening to The Shining, as there's that panned shot going over the wilderness. Was that intended? Did you like plan on going out and getting sheets with trees on them, or is this just happenstance?
Those are my sheets. Those are just my sheets. But I liked the way they looked. I did choose them because I did like the way they looked. And I liked the way, because it starts out with an overhead shot of, actually it's Burbank, a drone shot of Burbank in a neighborhood like mine. And so I liked the transition from the houses into those trees on the sheet. And I thought it kind of I thought it meshed well. So, but no, those are just my sheets. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question for Matthew Van Winkle. How did you get involved with this? And are you wanting to become an actor? What was the process from the beginning of coming into this short film?
You know, funny enough, Matthew and I were coworkers, and we bonded over horror movies a little bit. It was kind of a funny thing where I met someone for the first time in my life in terms of like in a work capacity that shared such a passion for film and horror and everything related in the world of horror with Matthew. And he moved back to LA, and I always had dreams of being a filmmaker. So I came out to LA about 11 months ago. I'm more of into screenwriting and directing. And Matthew reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to be involved in this project? And for me, as someone who just moved out here, this was the first thing that I've done. I don't really have an interest in becoming an actor per se. I'm more of a put myself in things to learn the trade of everything else. So that's kind of how I got involved. And I've got to say, it was so fun and such just a joyous day to like just make a horror movie with an old friend and a new friend. I learned a lot from Matthew in just terms of getting back on set and lighting, and just, I took a few cues in terms of just like how chill it was. You know, we just planned it. We talked about it over a few months. It was a phone call or two. I made a new friend with Jimmy, who also created such a safe environment. And really, you know, I had been out here for probably 6 months at that time. It really reinvigorated a love for like movie making for me. You know, I went to film school, you know, I had to act in my own stuff. I'm not near as talented as Jimmy over here, but it reinvigorated such a love for filmmaking. And that's kind of how I got involved and kind of what I took away from it too, because it was just such a fun process.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, you know, like give up acting. Cause like Matt, you were great in the film. It was so subtle. It was, I mean, what you did, you know, just with some questions and, you know, your performance, it was so subtle. And that's what acting was. It's like, I was just looking at you. I didn't see you as acting. I saw you as a character. And I thought you were really, really, really great in this film. I really did.
That's why I knew... Sorry, that's why I knew Matt would be right for it, because he's I'd not seen him act before, but he just has a natural way about him, and that's all that character really required, you know. I think that the director of the Chicago Horror Film Festival, he talked about our movie in a post that he had, and he said that your character was Jimmy's therapist, which isn't right. He's just Jimmy's friend. Yeah. But I got it. That was kind of, I mean, he almost, you know, as I thought about it, it could have been a therapist because of the way that he deals with Jimmy without, you know, making him feel bad about himself, you know, the way he deals with his paranoia. But I knew Matt had I just had a feeling that he would approach it just very, very minimally, which was perfect. And just your energy alone is exactly what I was hoping for. And not everybody can do that. Not everybody can just tap into their own just energy, you know? And so I wasn't, obviously I didn't know if he could do it, but the minute he started interacting with Jimmy on, and they had their dialogue, I was like, oh yeah, no, this, he's going to be fine. Because it doesn't require much, you know. His character is supposed to be a sounding board for Jimmy's character. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy had the more emotional, scenes and kind of speech, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. It says a lot. It says a lot about, you know, Matt's, acting. It really mm-hmm. does. It just, yeah. Just reserve, calmness, and just let James, you know, character just do what he's going to do. And it was just such a reserve moment. I mean, Matt really complimented James so well in this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's something worth saying in terms of, we always make those comparisons of comedy and horror, right? Whether Jordan Peele talks about it a lot in terms of the same beats. And this is more of a testament to Matthew's writing and kind of direction. You know, I feel like there's a lot of straight man and whatever the opposite of a straight man is with me and Jimmy. So I think, you know, those polar opposites sometimes just work so well in both horror and comedy, and kind of you were able to exploit that pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Now, I would be remiss if we didn't point out the one remaining cast member that couldn't join us, which would be Rosie.
Yeah.
I just want to point out her excellent performance. Nobody plays dead like Rosie.
Yeah.
To pull the curtain back a bit and go behind the scenes, most people don't know that Rosie is actually a Chihuahua, but with special effects and some practical makeup, she really pulled off the part of a German Shepherd. It was so believable.
The acting. Yeah. It's really the acting.
Oh, yeah.
Although
I will say she falls short when it comes to be playing a guard dog towards the end of the short.
Yeah, she did.
Very motionless, reactionless. But
well, I mean, she
speaking
was,
of...
She was ahead. Being so calm during the shooting that I wasn't sure if I was going to have her in it. And then but she was just laying there, and I thought, oh, I would just leave her there. And I mean, Jimmy's character could have a dog. But then later I realized, you know, we really should have a callback to her. So I added, I shot another scene with her reacting to what happens in the living room later in the short.
Yeah. Speaking of makeup, I had questions. Who designed the makeup for the demon, for lack of a better term?
Me. I put something
on
him.
No, Michelle?
No, it was me. Did it all. But mostly I was just wanting to do something that I could play with in Da Vinci, that I could add some effects to. But I found it creepy enough as it was that I just didn't. And the things that I was doing in Da Vinci, I'm not skilled enough in Da Vinci. Da Vinci Resolve is an editing software, and there are some special effects that you can do in it. Kind of CG makeup, I guess you can put on a face, but I'm not skilled at it enough. And what I did wasn't as, it was kind of, it just didn't work. And so I just kept it, you know, the way it was.
I had vibes of Clan of the Cave Bear and Quest for Fire.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Right. I was thinking something primeval, you know, just a primeval entity for this creature, something that would be, I guess, in that vein of Quest for Fire or whatever, but something that's just a primeval force.
Speaking of Da Vinci, I have a question, and I hope this isn't getting too specific, but there's a scene where Jimmy is face to face with his demon, his nightmare.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that's a stand-in, stunt double,
no,
trick effect.
I did it in Da Vinci. So there were two special effects shots that I did manage to pull off. One is later when there's a reveal of the creature, and then the other one is I had Jimmy lie down, and I just had him screaming for a shot, and then I had him crawl over Matt. And so for what there's a scene where the camera is following Jimmy as he crawls up his own body, because for the audience, Jimmy plays himself, but he also plays his own demon in it. So, and he's in makeup for the demon. And so when Jimmy's crawling up the bed, I have Matt's body there. But once we get to the head and there's that shot where the demon is right over Jimmy's face, that's both of those are Jimmy, and that was a masking effect in Da Vinci Resolve Studio.
All right, let's talk about Mr. James Oster for a second. James, your performance was off the charts. I remember when Matt sent the film to me for the first time, and I watched it. And it was like it was not the finished version, but I saw the film and I immediately just called you. I'm going, you're an actor. You're an actual actor. You're an actor. Like, holy shit. Like, so, I mean, you've been on California Dreams. Right. Yeah. You've been on Plane versus Volcano and whatnot. No, it's
no,
Plane versus Volcano.
Airplane versus Volcano. I was in the other one.
In the other. Okay.
Yeah.
An airplane or a plane? I thought it was Plane versus
Volcano. It's a brilliant film. I saved Dean Cain's life.
Dean Cain, Robin Givens. It's a Sharknado, man. It's a Sharknado film.
My buddy's
and
directed that.
It's a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a lot of fun. I watched it today doing a little research. So
I'm so sorry. I love that movie. Don't get me wrong. I love that
movie. No. You know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, they can direct a movie. They're the Conlon brothers are really talented guys. So that was fun. It was a great experience to do that.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I actually wasn't like fast forwarding anything, or I'd say I actually watched it. And I was like, hey, this is a Sharknado film. It's great. But so like going into your role, it's like you had that one scene where you had Matt talking to you, and Matt had the camera on your face and was going back and forth. It was really brilliantly shot. What was your motivation? And I know that sounds like weird to say, like, oh, what's your motivation? But there's emotion coming out of you. And what was bringing you to, you know, that moment when you were acting?
That's a deep question. Well, I mean, I was going through a lot of stuff with my mom being sick. I was having a pretty rough time. I mean, it was a very hard time for me. It was why I left the show. I just needed to take care of some things, and that's why we waited to film. I don't know. I didn't really have to think much because, I had Matt, who was both Matts. I had Matts. But Matt was such a skilled director, the script worked, and it was easy to kind of, I've actually experienced that before, sleep paralysis. So there's a lot of things going in. It was, and this lovely Matt here, Mr. Van Winkle, was one of the most, it was just a joy to work with. Like, it was just, it made it easy, and it didn't feel like it was just being there, and I was having fun. I was in a good mood that day. I was having a blast. It was fun. And I actually trained to be an actor. I just never really, I found other avenues in my career, and it was nice to actually get a chance to actually play a role, like really dig my teeth into a role and do something cool and smart. And I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful. Hopefully that answers your question.
No, it did. No, it did. No, it was just a great performance. And obviously, I mean, you were nominated, through like 150, films. That says a lot. That says a lot. And you really kicked ass in this film. Thank Both you. Of you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, that's one of the things Jimmy told me when I first sent the script to him. Was after he read it, he was like, this has happened to me. Well, not this exact thing, but the sleep paralysis has happened to him. So
very close. No. I sleep like an enchilada. So I'm all covered up, like usually just kind of buried like in the morgue table. But I used to hear something next to my bed breathing. It was just my breath kind of echoing my head, but sounded like someone was right there just it was terrifying because you couldn't move. You couldn't. And so, yes, I could relate. Absolutely.
Yeah, I could relate also. I've had sleep paralysis a couple of times. Yeah. And I do remember those moments. I don't have them often, but when they happen, 100%, you cannot move. And you know you can't move. Yeah. When you're asleep and you know you can't move and it's just your dreams are happening. This is what's going on. And there's not a thing you can do and you can't breathe. You feel like you can't breathe. Yeah. It's probably because I'm snoring, but it's just it's horrible. It's a horrible feeling.
It's not fun. I mean, I'm actually surprised, Matt, that you made it through Mr. Van Winkle, because I had to crawl on top of this guy. It was really, really just, we were close. We were very close together.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, Jimmy and I had never met. And our first time meeting, he was crawling over me face to face. But it says something to the environment and to Jimmy as a person that I felt totally comfortable with him, crawling on top of me. And another note about Jimmy's performance in terms of just he's playing two different characters, and it's easy to differentiate both of them by their looks in terms of their features. But something Jimmy brought to it as well is the physicality of both of them in terms of not just facial reactions, but the demon he plays also has some physical features in both, the facial reactions he makes, as well as fully embodying the character. I just think, you know, with someone else, or if that was written differently or directed differently, or if it wasn't Jimmy, it's really easy as someone to come on to set and play two different people and not embrace such a different physicality to both of them. But to me, in my eyes, they're two very distinct, very, very distinct characters that only lends itself to the short.
So, yeah. so you're saying that was the first shot you did of the film? Is James on top of you, Matthew?
No,
it wasn't.
That was,
but it was.
No,
we had to get to know each other a little bit. It was a very comfortable shooting environment. Yeah. It was nice. It really just felt like, hey, let's hang out and let's make a little movie, and that's really all it was. It was easy with these two guys. You know, it was just so pleasant and so nice and so comfortable, and it made it easy to kind of have to stretch yourself and to go to dark places, which maybe not wouldn't have been that comfortable had it been an uncomfortable situation. But it was actually very helpful, almost therapeutic for me.
Nice. Hey, Matt, Mr. Matt Speak. Here's a question. Well, not really a question. I don't know. I was listening to the interview that we did when we reviewed The Thing, and we reviewed or interviewed you, you know, with The Last House. And one of the questions I asked you was what other profession you would like. And you said director. And now here you are, a director.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? Just to watch you like blossom, like you're just like you're doing your shit, man. You're doing your shit, and you're really inspiring on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's with age, but I've gotten to a point where, you know, for a long time in my life, I've thought about, oh, I really wanted. I wish I'd done this, or I wish I could do that, or I want to do this, and just never doing it, and then. You know, I guess it started in 2015 when I wrote the first book. I just did it, just sat down and did it. And then after that, it was like the podcast. I'm like, what, let's just do it. And I called Joe up and we do it. And then, you know, with this, it's kind of it's just kind of the same thing. I just was like, you know what? I got this camera. I want to try doing this. I'm going to do it. You know, and so nowadays it's a lot easier to do that. You know, I suppose in the 90s it wouldn't have been, because there was, you know, video was very different. Obviously, it wasn't really. We did that movie. That movie I was in, Beauty Queen Butcher.
It's a great film.
Was shot on video.
And top notch. Yeah.
Great film. We're going to review that film one of these days. We're going to review it on one of our episodes. We're going to go like under budget of $5,000 or something, and we're going to review this film.
We could probably round up most of the cast.
We probably could, yeah.
Oh, and the directors.
That would be fun.
Yeah, probably the directors. But
yeah.
But it was shot on video, and it's different, you know. Back then, if you wanted to do a movie, it was really film, and that's hard. It costs a lot of money. Now, with mirrorless cameras and digital cameras and editing software that you – I mean, DaVinci Resolve is free. I have the paid version, but it's that's only $300. You know, it's not that bad. But, you know, now you can just make your own stuff and put it on YouTube or wherever. And or these film festivals that have all popped up where, you know, you send them a video. It's just so much easier now. And things can look so great just with a camera that people are making movies on iPhones. You know, the latest iPhone just got the ability to shoot in log and Apple ProRes. It's insane. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you can shoot in Apple Log and Apple ProRes, and you can produce a video quality that would have been unimaginable 20 years ago. And so, and there are film festivals now that have special categories for mobile filmmaking, you know, or iPhone movies on Androids or iPhones or whatever. And so there's never been a better time to be. I mean, the big time industry is going through some struggles right now, as we all know, but there's never been a better time to be an indie filmmaker for sure. And if you have an idea, you know that you've been brewing.
You're kinda
on
out of excuses.
Yeah, there's no excuse. Just do it. You just
do it. It's exhilarating. It's exhilarating to even, like, you know, think about. It's like big studios are like suffering. Like, people aren't going to the theaters, and now this is the time. You have so much technology to make a film for just dirt cheap, and it's fascinating to even think about that people can do this. And I think this is going to be like a resurgence of like the 70s of Martin Scorsese, you know, and, you know, these actors and, or, you know, these directors like making films like Francis Ford Coppola, just bringing this up. I mean, there could be a real big resurgence, I think.
Well, I mean, if you go into the indie market, it is great. Like the movies that we saw at the Chicago Horror Film Festival, all those shorts, I don't think I saw a single one that I was like, oh, that was terrible. Like everything we watched was interesting. You know, they might, some were better than others, and some looked better than others. But even the stuff that didn't necessarily look great was interesting and had a cool story to it, and people spent a lot of time and in many cases a lot of money. I mean, the actor that won best supporting or best actor in a short, the one that I guess beat Jimmy technically or whatever, he was in a short that cost $150,000. You know, I mean, but we made one for pretty much free. You know, and we were recognized as well. So, I mean, technically,
the other thing that was fascinating about all those pictures, and I granted, I'm sure the selection process has something to do with it, but there's no overlap. We saw all those movies, and nobody was like, you know, we didn't have two people doing the same idea,
right?
So correct. It's a virtual wellspring of originality.
Yeah. You know? So I highly suggest, if you are in an area like Portland has the Portland Horror Film Festival that just came out a couple weekends ago. We didn't get invited to it, unfortunately, but they have one. There's a lot of film festivals around the country. And if you're, don't be afraid of going to those, because the stuff that we saw was really great, you know. And we watched a lot of those shorts that they did make available on. If you had a ticket, you could watch shorts online. They had a special link for you to go to watch them if you didn't see them that week. And my God, some of these were fantastic. So
here's a question, Mr. Winkle. What kind Van of films Winkle. Are Winkle. Jesus? What's his name? Is it Matthew? Is it Winkle? Is it Matthew Van Winkle?
It's Van Winkle. We've said that three times.
He didn't say it three times. I think he only said it once.
We said it.
We said it.
Van Winkle.
I'm sorry.
Like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Can I do Mr. Van Winkle, or is it just Van Winkle?
If you talk to Jean-Claude, you wouldn't say, hey, Mr. Damme.
Be fun. Say Mr. Van Damme. Yeah. He'd roundhouse kick you in the head.
Yeah, probably.
he's killed motherfuckers for less.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't even know what to say now. Matthew Van Winkle.
There you go. You got his name. Yay!
Yay!
I know his name. I just don't. It's got. I got Matt Speak. I got Matthew. So, anyways,
he's got to keep a lot of names in his head.
Yeah,
it's work.
So anyways, what kind of films are you thinking about making since you want to be a director? Like what genres are you going to? What interests you to make a film? What's popping in your head?
So like I said, I moved out here to try and focus on filmmaking, and I'm more of a screenwriter by trade. I went to the University of Iowa for film school. I got to make a few fun short films, and then I got away with it because, you know, life got in the way. But screenwriting has always been there, so that's kind of what I've focused on, and I really like this Alex Garland quote, and I'm going to butcher it, but he kind of directs out of necessity because he wants to see his stuff made, and that's kind of like how I'm going to approach things from this point on. So I kind of respond, like you guys very much so, to the horror world, to science fiction. A lot of my interests lie within kind of the social dynamics of the world and the economic dynamics in the world. I'm a social worker, so I'm kind of predisposed to seeing how the systems fail us. And it's sort of usually how, you know, monsters are built from those systems and people having to fight back against those systems. So due to kind of, honestly, Matthew and Jimmy had reinvigorated this really indie short film sort of do-it-yourself passion that has gotten away from me since college. And you guys just proved to me how, I don't want to say easy, because easy isn't the word. We put in a lot of work for it, especially Matthew. But how simple it can be in terms of just saying, flipping a switch in your brain and saying yes. So Jimmy will be, hopefully, if we can kind of, I've had sort of a busy month, but I've asked Jimmy to star or co-star in a film I've written and directed coming up soon. Mm-hmm.
I said
the title is sort of up in the air, but it's kind of Neon Demon-esque about an aspiring actress and things kind of don't go her way.
And it's a really good script too. It's a lot of fun. Script,
yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I feature in. You know, I've written slasher features and some more science fiction pilots, but they usually kind of lie within the realms of which I'm talking about. But I'm super excited to involve Jimmy in this next project whenever we get to it. Hopefully in the next 2 months, we'll start cracking at it a little bit.
Sounds nice. Great,
yeah. Can't wait.
Go Hawkeyes.
Go Hawks.
Yeah.
He's an Iowa boy. We actually met at Bettendorf High School. I was teaching there for that school year, and he was my para. So he was, So we had a really rough classroom that we were teaching in. It was basically all the kids they didn't know what to do with, and they put them in a room, and a lot of them were there only because the courts were making them be there. It was a rough go, but then he moved out here, you know, I was like, yes. So he's a good guy.
Really nothing good like guy. Nothing easier than teaching kids with that thirst for knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so happy to be there.
Right.
The courts tell them they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun. We had so much fun in that classroom at all times.
Oh man. Yeah. I want to move out to California and like hang out with you.
Which is just like the cab driver all over again.
Crickets.
I wish I had that cricket sound. Hold on.
Yeah. I like to set up volleyballs sometimes.
I like you too.
I like that one.
You're all
right now.
Oh, here we go.
You shut up. Oh God.
I'd like to move out to California and sleep in your bed.
Can I be in your movie, Mr. Director?
Yeah. I was actually talking to Winkle about that. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be in your next movie.
You mean Van Winkle?
Your cat. Damn it. See, this is what the fuck I'm talking about. Oh my God. Volleyballs.
Guys, I think I'm just doing this show a little bit. This is fun.
No. Close to 100, James.
Woo! So James, what do you want to do next? I know you've got plans to do, you know, Matt's movie, but are you shooting to start auditioning again? What do you think?
You know, I don't know really. It's like I'm probably, it seems like something I kind of want to get into. Like I've had a lot of, you know, we did have a friend of mine looked at the script, a filmmaker, and he really, our film, and he really liked it, by the way. Marcus Dunstan, who did the collection and all that stuff, is a really nice guy. I think I can say that. I don't think he'd mind. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. It's something that I, when I came out here, I wanted to be an actor. That was why I came out here. But I found another avenue, and I love it. I love what I do. I get to talk to literally the most famous people in the world and hang out and have conversations with them. But that said, it did kind of reawaken something in me. And I think I was spoiled, Matt, because I'm going to throw down a few compliments too. You are a fantastic director. You gave me so much. You made it so easy. So I know they're not always going to be like you, but I think I'm back. Maybe I'm excited to do work with Winkle again.
I think that's what the theme of this episode is that, just go for it, you know, mm-hmm. just do it. You know, I mean, I know that's a Gatorade Nike, commercial, but just do it. I mean, there's so many opportunities out there, and if you just motivate yourself and you really want to make a difference in your life and just with your ideas, I mean, that's what you do. You just do it.
No, I think that's, if you have an idea, there's no excuse anymore. Like, whether it's writing books or making a movie or whatever it is, like, everything that you need, you can have relatively cheap. I mean, very cheaply. You know, if you have an idea for a script, you know, you can write the script. And if you have people you know that would be in it with you, or you just post an audition, even if you want, if you don't know people, and then just make it, and don't worry about what you do or don't know, just make your movie. And you know, and the good thing is also, if you go on YouTube, there's tons of like instructional videos and things like that, that'll tell you how to do stuff if you don't know how to do it. You know, you don't have to go to film school anymore. Even you can learn how to work your camera. You can learn how to set up a shot. You can learn how to edit and color correct and color grade and all those things. I didn't go to film school. I learned all of that watching YouTube videos of other indie filmmakers. And there's just a ton of them. That'll show you step by step. There was a shot that we did where Matt's character videos Jimmy, and at a certain point in that video he videos Jimmy's character sleeping, and at a certain point something happens and I needed to have a mask put onto it, and I watched a YouTube video really quickly to get that mask on there because we needed that for the shot. And so whatever it is you want to do, you can learn step-by-step instructions on how to do it and make it happen. So just do it, you know, if you have an idea. Mm-hmm. And of course, if anybody wants to reach out, you know, let us know, you know, message us on Facebook, and anybody wants to talk to me, you know, I don't know at all, but I can certainly point you in the direction of the videos that I used to learn how to do certain things, and any knowledge I do have, I'm more than happy to pass on.
Yeah. And one thing I have to say is that after watching Matt's film, I started writing, you know, just, I used to be a writer in grade school and junior high and high school. I started writing a screenplay. I don't know if I'm going to make a film or anything like that, but I started just writing and just my creative juices just started going, and it's like a short horror film, and I'm just writing a screenplay. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but it's creative juices just going through my brain, and I'm enjoying doing it, and I'm doing mm-hmm. some rewrites and whatnot. And so, like, thanks, Matt. Thanks, James.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Winkle. And yeah, no, it's great.
And also people in the indie indie filmmaking are very happy to help out, you know, a lot of them are anyway. And I know a big help for me has been Vinny DeSanti. I actually wrote a Dracula short and passed it on to him, and he loved it. So he passed it on to some filmmakers he knows who do period shorts. And so who knows, they might produce it. I haven't heard from them yet, but he was very happy and very complimentary of the script and told me a few things to change. I changed them, and he said, I'm going to pass this on. And then he told me I should enter it into some screenplay contest too. So, there's a lot of people like that, like Vinny. Vinny helps tons. When we were in the Chicago Horror Film Festival, they had him talking, and everybody knew him, and he spent a lot of his time talking to young filmmakers, helping them and helping them network. And so it's a really cool community, and help is out there for sure. Mm-hmm. I think Matt, you were going to say something a minute ago.
Yeah. I was just going to say, and this isn't a knock on the $150,000 short. And, my approach towards art is usually not categorizing things and putting them in some sort of ranking or in some sort of competitive way. But think about the $150,000 short and think about the short that we shot in one day with the budget of a few frozen pizzas and some refreshments. And of course, obviously, what was put in place of that budget, where of course, if you're putting $150,000 into something, you're putting a lot of thought and care into it, of course.
Right.
But all we needed was thoughtfulness and care and just a few buddies. And, I think a lot of people stop themselves before they get going because right. they're scared the film is either not going to look good or sound good, or you're not going to act good. And I think if we're on this topic, just give yourself permission to suck.
Yeah.
Give yourself permission a little bit, and you're going to suck. You're going to write something that sucks. You're going to direct something that sucks. Mm-hmm. But that comes along with practice. And just find one thing that you like and keep moving forward. And I'm not some grizzled veteran of the game, but in terms of, the film that we did and bringing it back to that, if there was another take needed, there was another take needed. There was a lot of learning on the fly, and mm-hmm. something so massive in terms of giving respect to Matthew was such a calm demeanor for things that might have not gone exactly his way, because that just comes up. And the way that you were able to just turn it on a dime is just the calmness that, you want to bring to set and bring an open environment of any creative endeavor. And I think for, any aspiring artist out there, whether you're a writer, a painter, a director, of whatever it may be, just to go in terms of this discussion of reinvigorating inspiration and creating art, it's just, don't get hung up on really pushing out your vision when you're first starting. Just go do it, have some fun, try some new stuff, and take something away from each new film, just like I took away a ton from at the foot of the bed.
Yeah, that's so true, Matt, because there were a lot of things I look back on. I was like, I should have done this. But, we did the best we could with this. And I know the next thing I do will be better than this. And the next thing after that will be better than that. It's just like the books I've written. The first one, I'm very, very proud of it. But looking back on it, I read it again because I am writing the third in the trilogy right now. And so I've read through the first two or reading through the first two. And there are things I'm like, oh, that's not good. And I wish I had, wish I'd taken more time with this or that. But, the second book was a little bit better. And then the last house I felt like was kind of hit my stride as a writer a little bit more. But you learn, and there's nothing wrong with there's no way to be perfect when you're first starting out, and there's nothing wrong with looking back and saying, oh, I could do it way better now. You should do things better the third or fourth time you do them, than the first time. Yeah.
Hell, look at this podcast. The first couple sucked. Yeah,
right.
We didn't know what the hell we were doing. And look, 98 now episodes later, and we're a little bit better.
Yeah. No, we're way better than we were when we first started out, for sure. And yeah.
I'm still on this show. Yeah.
Well, we'll get better with that.
There are holdbacks, yeah.
There are drawbacks.
Yeah.
Well, I think anything else anybody has to say or questions or anything? No.
I'm fresh out of questions.
Yeah.
I think that when all the viewers do watch this film, it's like we've all said, it's an independent film. It was made on Nickels and Dimes. It got nominated. It got actors were nominated. We have Mr. Matthew Van Winkle in this film that was absolutely fantastic. And I'm really impressed with his acting. Can't wait to see what he directs. Mr. James Oster, man, like fantastic. I said,
yeah.
Phenomenal.
Thanks,
man. Phenomenal, man. And Matt, you're directing. I do have to say there is a walking scene from a street going into a house. Fucking great. It's my favorite.
Wonderful scene. Transition.
Yes. Yeah, yes. It was like a chef's kiss, like mwah. And it's in the trailer. You can see it. And I love that shot. It's my favorite shot. And,
yeah, that's my favorite shot too. I really like the way that turned out, and then the transition into him walking inside,
yeah,
kind of worked better than I thought it was going to. But way
it's
better
so
than I was hoping.
Good. It's so yeah. good.
Yeah. And really good, guys. It's really good. Yeah. I was impressed.
yeah. So it's just like what's the synopsis, man? Just go for your dreams, man. Just go for it, and like. What Matthew Van Winkle said, man, just
fail. If you have an idea, do it.
Fail. Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
There's a great quote, guys. It's a poem, and I wish I could quote it better, but it's about this whole thing. It's like you just create, make art. Doesn't matter what people think of it. It doesn't matter if people like it, if people don't. Do what you feel. Put it out there. If and you know that's there's something beautiful about that, and I think that stop worrying so much about what people are thinking and just go and make something, get inspired. It's you can do it. People can do this.
I think the only way to really fail is to not do it.
Yeah,
is to not do what you wanted to do. You know, that's the only really way. You learn from everything you do. I mean, what you do may not be great, but you'll learn a lot. And then the next time you'll know how to do it better and better. And hopefully, you know, you'll progress. But if you just don't do it, then you've failed because you didn't act on something you were thinking about.
Yeah. I love this episode. I do. It's like a heartwarming, I don't know what it is, man, but this episode's great.
Yeah. No, it's turning into an inspirational, or what do they call it? A motivational speech.
Joe's gonna wrote it.
I didn't say a thing.
Poor Joe.
He's gonna wrote it. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I didn't say a thing. I think it's great. No. I think it's wonderful for a critic to stop criticizing and start creating.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit there and pick apart other people's stuff all day long, but it takes a lot of courage to actually stick your own neck out there and contribute and make content.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Totally 100%. And it does, you know.
Fuck you, Joe.
And I do. I know I've been harsh on some movies we watched, and you know, but it does make you think twice about that when you do it yourself, you know, but yeah.
So you want to like recant on all the Corey Feldman horror films?
Not one bit.
What the fuck?
No. Nope. Corbin Nash is still garbage.
Corbin Nash is fucking great. Winkle, what do you think of that?
No. Hey, Winkle.
Never seen it?
Corbin.
What am I supposed to call him? What the fuck? I can't do these three names. Matt Van Winkle. Well, how am I supposed to, am I supposed to do Matthew or am I supposed to do Matt? Because you're Matt. And then, so like, I'm trying to like explain like. Oh, he's so done with me. mute.
It's, you know, you could call him Matt. You could call him Matthew. You can call him Matt Van Winkle. It was just the
Winkle
should
have
part,
got this straightened
that,
out of the beginning.
There,
of the
yeah,
episode.
Yeah. There's two Matt, so I don't know how to call him.
That's and true. Then everybody, Matt Speak and, or Matt Van Winkle. That's a hard. I mean, his whole name is right there.
Okay.
He's written right his whole name on his screen.
Yeah.
He's so done with me.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week. So thank you, Mr. Matt Van Winkle. Thank you, Jimmy O. We appreciate you guys being here. We appreciate your amazing performances in The Foot of the Bed. And Jimmy O, very excited for you with the nominations and awards and with the show, you know, with the movie. And it's it's exciting. This little movie we did has gotten some recognition. So
it's awesome.
So it's very, I'm very happy about that. And Mark and Joe and I, it gave us the opportunity to get together in Chicago, which was a lot of fun because we have not been together in the same place other than my dad's funeral. That was the last time all three of us were together, and it wasn't exactly the most joyous of occasions, you know. Yeah. So before that, it hadn't been, I think it had been 1998 was probably the last time we were all together in the same place. So it get really, you know, it was kind of a godsend, this movie getting in there, because it allowed us to have a really nice time. Vinny DeSanti came and joined us too. We had a fun time. Brian, friend of the show, Brian was there. We had a great time. So this little movie has done way more. It's what do they call that? Hitting above its weight or something?
Worth its weight in gold?
Yeah. Yeah, worth its weight. I was thinking punching above its weight. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you guys for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
What's our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode is going to be episode 99, which, believe it or not, is not horror related. It is going to be Joe and Mark. I just remembered this as I was saying the sentence, because I was saying that sentence thinking, boy, I hope I come up with what the episode is, because we recorded it a week or so ago. But it is actually episode 99, and we are going to, each of us are going to give our top 10 favorite horror movies, or I'm sorry, no. our top 10 favorite non-horror movies of all time. Oh. So
yeah.
We will see if there, how much overlap there is between the three of us.
There's going to be tons. There's going to be tons.
I would imagine that there will be tons of overlap.
Yeah, I'm guessing three identical top 10 lists.
I'm guessing five.
Five identical top ten lists from three people.
For the three of us?
Is that that's what's going on?
Well,
it's just anything. If you normally had horror in your top ten, you got to yank it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slide everything else up.
So yep. our favorite 10 non-horror movies, basically. So, I mean, if we did our favorite 10 movies, each of us would probably have at least a few horror movies in it, if not half.
Yeah. Right.
So in this case, there's no horror in the list. So it's going to be a little change of pace.
Like my number one favorite film of all time is Jaws. Can't have it in it. And it kills me. Kills me that Jaws can't be in it. It's going to kill me.
And mine is Zombie Beer Run, starring James Webster.
I tried to watch it. I couldn't find it anywhere. It's a series too, right?
Yeah, James? It was just a short I did. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was
fun. Well, I can't find it.
My favorite is Top Gun Maverick, so I'm lucky.
Fuck off. That's a great fucking film. It's an American film. I love that film. And
hell yeah, Mark. Hell yeah. Top Gun Maverick is awesome.
Yes! Yes, are you serious? Oh, no. Are you serious?
God damn it.
On my letterbox.
You're not fucking with me, right?
Oh, way too much. I love Tom Cruise.
Yes!
So
he is so underrated.
So your flight name would be Winkle?
You're
like Maverick and Winkle?
He's my goose. Or
you could be his wingman anytime.
You could be Iceman, and you could be, I'll be your wingman anytime.
Hell yeah, brother.
Wow.
Good night,
everybody.
Oh, yeah. This is horrible.
No. We're not editing this episode. I want to talk to you.
Hey, Mark.
Matthew.
I don't like you to get the fuck out of here.
Top Gun Podcast by Mark and Matt.
Let's go. We could go easily 50 episodes. Bujetsa verse.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Talking about Top sure. Gun.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. We could go
and then the
easily
the TV series spinoff and the cartoons. Oh. And the cereal.
The game. Jesus.
The video game. Yeah.
Joe, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. Vamping.
And I quit. I'm leaving the show.
Maverick. Got that on tape. Maverick podcast.
Coming soon.
Oh, no.
We can talk about Kenny Loggins. We can talk about, oh, my God. There's so much things.
Talk about that volleyball scene.
Oh my God.
At least 6 or 7 episodes.
Yeah, I bet he could.
Playing with the boys.
Yeah, sing us out, Mark.
Oh, no, no,
playing
no.
This is,
I think we're
yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, that's it for it. Please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise. Also, and we don't mention this enough. Please, whatever podcast app you use, like us or give us a 5-star rating or whatever it is that they have on your podcast app. If it's Spotify, give us 5 stars and a review, right? It takes you 2 seconds, but it helps us. Also do it for Apple Podcasts. I know some people have done it, but our ratings are dreadfully low. So and way less than the listeners we have. So please, if you love us, show the love. Give us the love. Joe, it makes Joe happy.
It's the only joy I have nowadays.
It is. It's all he lives for. He cries a tear.
It's the only reason I get out of bed in the morning.
Looking for those ratings. So, but also, yes, go to www. And also in October, look for our film, The Foot of the Bed, which I'm just going to say it right now, is going to come out at some point in October.
Okay.
Let's go. I'll just say we're going to release it on October 18th. How about that?
8th?
18th.
18th.
Yeah. Friday the 18th. And what we can even do is we can make it. It'll be a premiere on YouTube that everybody can watch and have a little. We can watch all party. join each other that night, and we can all type. You know, what do they have, like a little chat room or something like that? You can. While you're watching the movie.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
We can invite everybody we know to that. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this time. We will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
I googled, can I be a serial killer? And guess what? I guess I can.